is an earnest, you might ask? A man with a past rich in both history and tradition. Should we punish this man for crimes he did not commit? No.
Get your speed things up.
Okay.
Such a man should be set free.
Hit the alarm! Up for it! Coats up! Let's go!
You better watch out, Reuben. I'll zot you.
You're a dead man, Worrell.
Very well. You ask for it. After all, I am Ernest P. Worrell.
Electro-Man.
Did I ever tell you that you have a really classic Greek profile?
Shut up. Let him go.
Wow, you talk. That's great.
Have you flipped? Come on. We gotta get rid of this guy before he blows the whole thing. No, he's different than us. Shut up and get out of my way. You better go. Mr. Nash is probably robbing the bank right now.
Nash? Well, come with me.
I don't belong out there. I got a place in here.
Well, I'm gonna miss you, good buddy.
Ernest, things won't be the same without you. You know what I mean?
If anybody does.
So long, love. I'll send you a cake.
Hurry up. You two come on, Charlotte. Come on.
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission: to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
It's the end of time, and the Mississippi River, she's a gold mine. is up and the stock market's down, and you're only getting mugged if you go downtown. I live back in the woods, you see, my woman and the kids and the dogs and me. I got a shotgun, a rifle, and a four-wheel drive, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I can plow a field all day long. I can catch catfish from dusk till dawn. Make our own whiskey and our own smoke too. Ain't too many things these old boys can't do. Grow good old tomatoes and homemade wine, and country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. Because you can't starve us out and you can't make us run. Those women old boys raised on shotguns. We say grace and we say ma'am. If you ain't into that, we don't give a damn. Came from the West Virginia coal mines and the Rocky Mountains and the Western skies. And we can skin a buck, we can run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I had a good friend in New York City. He never called me by my name, just Hillbilly. My grandpa taught me how to live off the land, and his taught him to be a businessman. He used to send me pictures of the Broadway nights, and I'd send him some homemade wine. But he was killed by a man with a switchblade knife. For $43, my friend lost his life. I'd love to spit some beach nut in that dude's eyes and shoot him with my old 45, 'cause a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. North California and South Alabama and little towns all around this land. And we can skin a buck and run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive.
Crap!
Operator, give me the number for 911.
here? What was that ruckus?
What ruckus?
I was just in my office and I heard a ruckus.
Could you describe the ruckus, sir?
Watch your tongue, young man. Watch it.
Everybody, you're listening to Shaziz Mad Science. If you happen to be over to ShazizRadio.com, you'll notice that in the super chat and the Knights of the Round Table, the chat rooms aren't working because of Chattangle being under a denial of service attack. They've had to shut their servers down. But never fear, at the very top of the super chat room, there's an emergency chat room for which you can sign on there and say what you need to say and all that kind of jazz. And at the very bottom of the same chat or same page on the super chat room, there is actually an encoded chat room, the same one. So two ways to get there. So, how you doing there, buddy?
Oh, having a ball. I didn't know they're under a, what do you call that, denial of service tag?
A denial of service attack. It's essentially where you're sitting there pinging the crud out of somebody's server so that nobody can get in. You're keeping it all busy, so to speak.
Ah.
Yeah, I hated that when they used to do that. Can't get a word in edgewise when somebody's doing that. Back in the old days, it was a little bit easier to do, but nowadays it must be quite a few people involved. Unless somebody's got a pretty good setup, it's gonna be hard for them to do by themselves with the processor speeds on these servers these days. But somebody don't like Chat Tango, and in turn they don't like Shazoo's Radio or Awake Radio because they're interfering with everybody's chat, which I don't know what they hope to gain by attacking Chat Tango.
Yeah, you ain't achieving much by that.
Yeah, probably some little zit face hacker going in there, whacking it up.
You told me you used to be one of them hackers.
Well, that's back in my youth days. But I ain't nowhere near being youth anymore, so I guess I'll just do what I gotta do, you know.
Right.
So, it looks like somebody's showed up in there. Sky Blue's up there in the chat room. Hi, Sky Blue. How you doing there, brother?
I'm a bit busy at the moment, and my connection really stinks at the moment, so no can do. I'll put him a sad face in there. There we go. Maybe he'll pop in here a little later.
Anyway, that's such is the world we live in, man. You know, that's one of the reasons why this alternative energy thing, I think, is pretty important because, you know, anything can happen. You see what's going on all over the world, different places, some bad weather, flooding folks out, and snowstorms, shutting down power grids and stuff. So, you know, even if it's only nature that's doing it, then you still got to be prepared for just such an emergency. So with that said, I'm going to try to speed my process up on my heating designs that I want to try to get out to folks that for emergency heating purposes and such. Looks like we got Steven in there, too. Steven Gibbons says, ping one, no. you're going to ping yourself, brother.
Blue Eyes has timeout. Does this thing have a time allowance that you can...
Yeah, this chat room is a chat room that hasn't been used for probably about 12 to 15 years. It's been sitting on Shaziz.com, and it used to be used back in the old days, but as you can see, it's not the most high-tech chat room in the world, but you could at least say hi to each other.
Oh, and it reads from the top, not the bottom.
Now, somewhere on Shaziz Radio is a hidden link to a really awesome Java chat. And I'll have to find that link there. Maybe we can plug that one in, too. But either way. So, we were talking about emergency heating and lighting and stuff like that. That's what I started talking about there. Before I get too far into all that, we're getting ready to do the Electro Man contest. Essentially, you build you a suit that is all on board charging systems, and the most powerful suit at the end of the 6 months wins the deal. It's a 6 months research and development contest, and the prizes will be determined on participation. So we'll have a prize pool that will grow during that 6 months while you're working on your design and building your suit. So you got any ideas on that one there, buddy?
Yeah, you get those little stepper motors, and you put one on every little knee joint, and you make a small suit about the size of your kid, and you put the little stepper motors on your ankle there with the little gear thing to... not gear reduction, but gear up, and then the same thing up there on their hips, and on their arms, elbows, wrists, fingers, neck, their jaw, because, you know, I mean, then feed the kid some sugar, and hook the extension cord to it, and power your laptop, and you're good to go.
Oh, man, I just knew you was going to put the kid in there. You'd probably be better off if you just did it yourself, because the kid got electrocuted from the suit because of your faulty wiring or something like that. That wouldn't be a good deal. Yeah, make sure you got your... always practice electrical safety. Don't use no bad wire or anything like that. It's all right to use recycled wire. Just make sure you insulate it real well away from you.
Especially if you're going to learn electrical safety by accident, as you say.
Yeah. Yep. Especially if you're going to do some sort of Tesla suit where you got a miniaturized Tesla coil or a Slayer exciter coil, you know. If you can walk around with your suit lighting up tons of light bulbs and stuff like that and shooting lightning bolts out of your hand, I'm saying that's going to be a pretty pretty cool-looking suit, man.
Yeah, last week I was a little stingy with my info because I was saying, yeah, I'm going to win this. But as the way I look at it, I've got enough irons in the fire, but I'm still going to make one. But here's what I hope to achieve. I'm going to take some, probably some of them lawn lamps or something and... get that where it charges the battery all the time. Then nighttime you put on your suit and basically, and you hang a bunch of these fluorescent tubes from the trees all over your yard. Then you get your YouTube video camera and make your YouTube video as you walk through the yard. And every time you come close to a bulb, that little Tesla coil lights up the bulbs as you go through there. Wherever you go, there's light.
I like it. And, you know, there's also the potential to build you a micro-sized plasma reactor in there and get some more cool stuff going on with that thing. So,
well, that sounds healthy.
I'm hoping my suit's going to be cool. Well, I ain't saying you want to, like, kick it up to, you know, thousands and thousands of volts and radioactive stuff or anything like that. What are you trying to say?
How many cesium sources out of the smoke detectors do you think I'll need?
I don't know, you could, well, we're not talking a nuclear reactor on your suit. Now, that if you can do that safely and legally, I guess that would be all right. So if your suit glows in the dark, we're going to know what you're up to. What were you thinking? Hey, look at that guy, he's glowing in the dark, man.
Yeah, he must be from Three Mile Island.
Yeah.
A Chernobyl survivor.
I have my doubts about that whole deal there, you know. The guy from the monster fishing deal, he went down there by Chernobyl and fished, and he's still alive, man. So I'm kind of wondering about that whole deal. You know, you go to see, go watch some video nuclear scare scam and make up your own mind. But
yeah, you got a job filling Kylan containers.
What containers?
Kylan. Or Xylem, whatever. You know, the glow-in-the-dark sticks where you bend them and break them and then shake them up in the emergency light?
Oh, okay.
After eating the fish? Never mind. Bad joke. I'm loaded with those.
Well, my brain shut down.
It's all right. Oh, shoot.
Anyway, somebody let me know if Chat Tango jumps back on there again. I highly doubt they're going to make it back on today because somebody's really persistent about not making sure we can't talk to each other. Which
is that, or somebody crept a virus into their system?
Don't know. Which is another reason why we always need a backup for a backup for a backup for a backup. So, you know, that's why we're over here on Shaziz Radio.com into the emergency chat room so that we can still have communications. So that's another thing to look forward to in case of a worst-case scenario is emergency communications. You know, you can still... if that phone line ain't ripped between you and somebody else, even though the internet might be down, you can still get a hold of each other with some old technology.
Do you remember? You read what Stephen said? Stephen Gibbons? What
did he say?
He said, if it's from Microsoft, it will be expensive and unreliable and need updating every day.
Hold on a second.
Oh, we got more coming in. Maybe
I got to try to add him to the call there. Can you add Steve to the call?
Stephen Gibbons?
No. The other
Steve. Steve Hope?
Yeah.
Oh, wonderful. No problem.
Let me see if I can do it, too. Anyway, we're trying to add Steve to the call there.
Yeah, we ain't picked on Steve for a while. A little farther down there he is. Add? Or did we add the wrong ones?
Okay, I'm sending a contact to you, man.
Did you
get it? This makes for good radio.
No, I don't see it yet.
Alright, let me try it again here. Alrighty then. Well, while we're trying to figure this doggone thing.
Well, if you just go to Knights of the Round Table chat room there, I'll get it from there and invite him in.
I thought I already had him, but.
Hey, Tim from Tang popped in down here.
Yay!
Steve.
Okay, try that. It says it sent the contact to you.
Alright.
Starts with a P.
Oh, starts with a P.
Yeah. Alrighty then. Well, anyway. So, we're going to be doing the Electro-Man contest. We're also going to try to revive the Pop-Pop Boat contest and get a whole bunch of stuff. So this ought to be a fun year, even though it's probably going to be an apocalyptic year the way everybody's doing things around these days. People rioting and looting and pillaging and all that kind of crazy stuff, tearing down their own neighborhood and such, you know. That's why if you got an opportunity to live out in the country, that's probably the best advice I can give you is move out to the country, get you some solar panels, have Muddy build you an actual flux wind turbine or what do they call those, Stirling engines, coffee can Stirling engine. Go look at some of our old videos over there on Shaziz's YouTube there and Muddy Mudman on YouTube and get some ideas on how to generate your own electricity. There's other people out there doing work like with Slayer Ciders and such, Ryan Abrams and Terry Woodruff and a whole bunch of them. So all over YouTube, there's all kinds of alternative energy researchers. Don't fall for any scams, though. If they're trying to sell something to you, chances are it's not good. So don't buy it. If they give you the information away for free and it works, then that's the best go. What do you think, buddy?
That's the best way to go. Free energy is free energy. I mean, even if you just build a small wind turbine and you ain't got it up in the air very high, it's still free energy. Can't grump about how much you're getting out of it. You're still getting some free energy out. I mean, like a ceiling fan wind turbine, it only does like one or two does like one or two amps, but it'll trickle charge that battery all doggone day. And I mean, it's not nothing big. Hello, Steve. Good morning.
This isn't Steve.
Oh no, this is somebody else.
This is not Steve.
Yeah.
Oh, I know who that is.
So how's life on your side of the planet over there in good old Mexico?
Oh, well, it's nice and warm.
That's good.
It runs, it's nice and warm.
Well, we were trying to just make the best out of a bad situation. Muddy, you timed out in that old little chat room. Unfortunately, Chat Tangle is under a DDoS attack, and they had to shut their servers down, so we don't have our chat rooms over there on Awake Radio or Shaziz Radio. We need a chat room like No Borders has. They got a really fine one. But either way...
That's why I called in Shaziz.
Yeah.
I mean, I built the website for you. Maybe I need to sort of bug my ideas up a bit and help you out.
Cool. Well, we got right now, we got a temporary emergency chat room on Shazam's radio that haven't used for probably 15 years. And it's actually located on Shazam.com. But it works. You can get in there and say hi. You don't get all the smiley faces and such, but it's at least something. Better than nothing. But if you think you can fix that, that'd be awesome, man. Get us a new chat room, our own personal one that we could use.
Well, I've been flying under the radar for a while because I had a couple of gentlemen come up and tell me that I need to get them.
Excuse me, I choked.
Get it out. Get rid of it. gentlemen came up and what?
A couple of gentlemen come up to me and told me to keep my mouth shut.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I won't mention.
Doggone.
I've had that occur once.
Yeah, well, I told them next time they want to come back and intimidate me, bring guns.
Oh, right. Good. Maybe they went to get them.
Maybe.
Anyway, yeah.
I'll accept a polite warning, but I'm not intimidated.
I had that happen to me quite some time back, but a couple weirdos. I don't know what that was all about.
Let's just say that this is not Steve talking, it's someone else.
No, we believe you. Love that Mexican accent.
Hey, caramba.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Go ahead.
What's the story? I mean, what's been going on with you guys? Because I've really been out of the loop for a long time now.
Well, we're currently working on the Electro Man contest, which is you build a totally self-contained onboard charging system on your suit. Whoever has the most powerful suit at the end of the 6 months research and development portion of the deal will be deemed to be Electro Man, the one that has the most powerful and unique suit.
Yeah, it has to be self-contained. It can't be charged off of other things that are not on the suit.
Yeah, you can't just go over and plug it in the wall and call yourself Electro Man. You have to have an onboard charging system. Like, you know, when you bend your knees, it charges. Or, you know, you can tack solar on there because it's on board. And you can even tack wind power on there because it's on board. So anything that's happening around you in nature that could potentially generate electricity, even the heat up your body using, say, Peltier elements or even a thermocouple or a thermopile, whatever you can get to charge either a capacitor bank or a battery bank that you can do physical work with.
So yeah.
What do you think?
To be perfectly honest, I don't need thermal underpants, especially with self-heating systems in Mexico.
Well, you know, there are some places in the world that would be beneficial, though.
Especially if you're appropriately reacting to global warming.
Yeah. If you're going to properly panic, which there is a video out there on Shaziz's YouTube that shows you how to properly panic during global warming, and you must watch that for your own safety. You know, now whether or not you're going to be physically or mentally traumatized by the process of learning, that's I should have put a disclaimer on that, huh?
Well, in fairness, I mean, if one of the professor emeritus comes out and says, "Well, look, this whole global warming stuff is a bit debatable," who are we to this second guessing?
Well, they said the debate was over, and then I was shoveling 20 inches of global warming off my driveway.
But, it is a bit warm here for this time of year, though. I mean, it was like just the end of August, early September, we got that doggone cold snap all the way from Canada down here to Texas, and got part of Mexico, too. And, I mean, we went down to, went from 80 degrees to we're looking at 20 degrees Fahrenheit, you know? That's below zero in Celsius.
I understand what you're saying, but I still am a fool in disagreement with the whole global warming thing. If you look at my video said about Earth tilted, then you'll see what I said in that video. And if you take the globe and you look at it and see where it used to be warm, the weather patterns have changed since the new tilt of the Earth.
So sure, that's never happened before, she says, has it?
Oh, no, it's never happened. There's never been no land mass where it wasn't supposed to be or any water where it's, you know, this earth has just been this way for trillions of years, man.
Well, I wasn't even talking about a tilt in the Earth's axis. I mean, I was talking about climate changing.
Oh, yeah. Well, I know there's some places, like, say, in the Philippines where the climate changes at the drop of a hat. You know, you'd be out there perfectly sunny, nice, warm day, and the next thing you know, clouds roll in, dumps a bunch of water on you, and then it's sunny again.
Well, a little update on the Philippines, on Hurricane Ruby. I have a friend there that experienced it firsthand recently. And last year they had, Typhoon Yolanda, which had unprecedentedly high winds and a 20-foot tidal surge. And my friend stood up to her waist with a 6-year-old daughter and 85-year-old mother for 5 hours on the second floor.
Yikes.
This year, it was what they call a slow-moving typhoon, which meant they had significantly slower winds, but it was still up to about 100 to 150 miles an hour. Well, but it lasted a hell of a lot longer.
Call it the conspiracy theory guy in me, but spraying stuff in the air and messing around with ionospheric heaters probably isn't helping the situation any.
Well, I mean, you know, boys have got toys and they're going to play with them.
Well, you know, what if they do and they basically flood your house and you think that the whole harp or slash, you know, chemtrailing conspiracies are crazy, maybe one day you'll figure it out that they might not be as crazy as they sound.
Well, I actually do believe in man-made global warming, and the men that keep making global warming, I wish they'd stop, but I don't think it's us.
Now, because if it had anything to do with CO2, man, their doggone volcanoes would have done fried us by now. But everybody who has any common sense and basic knowledge in science can understand clearly that every time a volcano erupts, we go through a cooling period. And when you're going through a cooling period, let's say over there, where is it, Iceland that has the volcanoes going off, and Hawaii's got some volcanoes going off, and there's a few other places around the globe that's got some volcanoes going off. Now all that crud up in there in the air, blocking out the sunlight, could be changing the temperature difference, which would bend the Gulf Stream or the jet stream around a bit to go around that hot air, you know, and you'd get some pretty nasty weather when that hot air hits some cold air, if indeed that it was cooling down the portion that was supposed to be normally a hot, you know, warm weather climate. And then, so when that hot air and that cold air starts to hit each other, we obviously know that sparks off some turbulence such as tornadoes and typhoons and such. So when the volcanoes are popping off on one side of the globe, it does affect the weather on your side of the globe as well. That's what I'm trying to say. Basic science.
Well, I reckon that Al Gore is a good Christian man. And every night he gets down on his knees and prays for another Russian meteorite.
Maybe. And he also probably prays that that 9-bedroom mansion that he bought by the seashore don't get flooded if his prophecy comes true. You know?
And anybody that's studied the weather currents of that meteorite that hit over Russia last year, I think it was last year, or was it 2 years ago?
Not sure.
It was pretty recent, though. But that particular year in the Republic of Ireland, we had unprecedented low temperatures. It was minus 12 where I was living at the time. Now, it doesn't normally go below 1 or 2 degrees.
Well,
a dirty, great big cloud of vapour went all the way around the Northern Hemisphere and led to significant drops in temperature everywhere.
Yep. There's a guy out there, I keep thinking Pierce Morgan, it sounds something like that, climate science guy that's over there in Europe, I believe. Doggone it, can't remember his name.
Piers Morgan is an upper-class gobshite. Oh, sorry.
No, not that guy. There was a... Doggone it, what is this dude's name? I'm going to have to remember. Anyway, there's a climate guy that talks about the sun and the sun being affecting the weather. He's been right on the dime every time he's talked about bad weather. He does weatheraction.com. Can somebody look that up and see what that dude's name is?
I will.
Anyway, he's been on the dime every time he's talked about all these different... They said that it was going to be nice up there. He said, no, it's going to snow, and it did during the whole climate summit. They were talking about global warming, and they get snowed in. So either way, common sense.
Well,
Stephen Gibbons...
Pierce Corbin, that's what his name is.
What's his name?
Pierce Corbin.
Ah, that sounds familiar. Yeah, Stephen Gibbons said we've had a low pressure setting off to the northwest of England for months now. Next had TDWR radar networks.
Well...
Yep, he said Pierce Corbin, right.
If you're using upper ionosphere heaters, that's going to mess around with stuff. Because it's going to bulge the atmosphere out into space, and all the other layers of atmosphere is going to rush in to fill that void, which is going to change the weather. If you're spraying crud in the air, blocking out the sunlight where it normally would be warm, then you're going to change the weather. If a volcano's popping off, it's going to change the weather. If the sun spits out a coronal mass ejection, it's going to change the weather. So climate change... natural climate change is a reality that we have to live with. But I would submit that instead of running around like Chicken Little and hollering the sky's falling, just build your house to withstand hurricanes and tornadoes and typhoons and so on and so forth. What do you think?
Have the people in Tornado Alley never heard the story about the three little pigs?
Well, I heard the story.
Yes, I do.
I heard the story.
I'm in Tornado Alley.
I'll huff and I'll puff and I'll blow your house in. Okay, I'll build it out of wood.
Yeah, or sticks, man. You build your house out of sticks and it's disposable. It's biodegradable.
Yeah, with sticks and stones and then bricks. No pig built it out of wood.
Well, I would have built mine out of steel, man.
I'm going to build my... next thing I build, I'm going to build out of papercrete.
That's awesome. I think.
Just
very,
sure.
Very thermal, cheap to make, and very stout, and practically bulletproof, unless you get a bigger gun.
Will it float?
I don't know. I doubt it, but I know they're light.
Well...
Very stout. Add enough paper and slurry it all up, and then imagine after it dries, it's pretty light brick.
I think a rail gun will make it through there. Everybody, when you build this house, we got to see if we can knock it down. It's a new
build it thick enough, it won't.
New contest. Smash Muddy's house.
I use like 60 pounds of newspaper for one bag of Portland, and you can add a few other things. If you want to add straw and stuff to make it a little more thermal, you can, but basically you just want to mince it up pretty good. And you ought to see the mixer they use for that. They take one of them round watering troughs, about as wide as a pickup bed, and a little, you know, and they put it on a pickup bed trailer. And then they turn the yoke to the axle straight up, and it goes up through the bottom, and you mount a lawnmower blade on it. And you just toss everything in. You drive around the block about 3 to 4 miles an hour, and come back, and it's all mixed and ready to use. And they drive it over the form and pour it into the form as they drive over it, straddling it with the tires on both sides. And there's another guy back there just troweling it into the holes. You wait about 2-3 hours, and you can take the boards off the side, and the next day you can move them. And you wait about 3 weeks, and them suckers are hard and ready to build with.
Cool.
Not bad. Real cheap.
Well, sounds like the apple pie I was making for Thanksgiving.
Man. Used a lawnmower to mix it?
Well, no. The amount I made, I should have done.
So, did anybody get hurt with that apple pie?
No, there were no Americans injured in this process.
Oh, that's good. So I would be the guy that runs in and hollers, "Man down!"
In fairness, there were some very happy people.
That's cool. So anyway, so we're talking about climate change. Everybody run around and scream bloody murder because you know, the sky is falling and such. But I submit that, and especially in your shorts, "How to Properly Panic During Global Warming" by Shaziz. Go check that out. You'll like that.
Hey, you got the link? Pop it in that chat box.
Well, I don't have the link.
Oh.
But either way, you know, that's why we've been talking about here on Mad Science a whole bunch of alternative energy ideas, such as wind turbines and solar panels and such, you know. It's all going to be determined by your specific needs. There's a lot of different people out there running their generators off of biodiesel, and some of them's running them off of French fry oil, and some of them's running them off of hydrogen, and so on and so forth. Methane. There's all kinds of different ways to run them doggone gasoline engines, but either way, there's a whole bunch of ideas out there, a whole bunch of research already available, so if you can't find free energy, you're simply not looking hard enough as far as I'm concerned. It's there. What do you think, buddy?
I think free energy is all around you. I mean, even the compost piles for heating your water for your showers, and even heating your house that way. There's wood. That's free. Pretty much, unless you buy a cord of it, but you can go out there and cut it, and or pick it up, and that's free. A lot of people think, oh no, you need solar panels or a wind turbine. There's many, many forms of free energy.
Well, last week we were kind of touching on the diode technology out there, the LED technology, and there's OLEDs too, as also organic LEDs, but there's LEDs that pick up all different light spectrums and produce all different light spectrums. You take one little red LED and charge up your cell phone with it. That tells you, you know, something's going on there. And you could also put it to a battery and light that same LED up. So I was thinking that, you know, with the right ingenuity and some circuitry, you could use some infrared LEDs to maybe make a it some sort of little charging system or whatever. Is it going to run your house? Obviously not, unless you you do somehow or another a massive bank and make it work. But I believe in all kinds of possibilities. When I look
at them LED Christmas lights, you got two strands: one for the positive swing of the 120, and one for the negative swing of the 120.
Yeah,
you just cut those big. They look like some kind of a lug in line there. Maybe it looks like an inline fuse holder, but it's totally cast in the rubber. You take those, you cut those off there, and basically set your LEDs out in the sun, preferably aiming straight at the sun, because those rounded tops there are nothing but a magnifying lens that focuses directly to the PN junction inside. You can get some nice voltage out of that. That'll definitely charge your cell phone.
You know, in the early 20th century, the electron theory was developed that talks about how pretty much how our electricity functions and stuff like that. But you know, to this very day, they still have not gotten a picture of the electron yet. Anybody there?
Yeah, I think the most powerful microscope back, as far as I remember, was the electron microscope, and that used electrons, so kind of hard to get a picture of an electron.
Well, either it's moving. Yeah, go ahead.
I thought I saw you driving the electron around your yard.
Oh yeah, well the electron, the number one electron, which was the go kart, the all electric go kart. That one I drove around in one video, and the all electric electron two, which was the motorcycle I drove around. So yeah, I guess somebody did get a picture of the electron finally. Yay, I was the first!
And how much did that photograph cost you compared to what they spent? I mean, seriously, these guys are massive underachievers.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You know, they build these big old colliders to smash stuff together to see what they come up with. To me, it's kind of like, hey, man, throw a can of this liquid over there in that fire and see what kind of results we get kind of thing. You know? I would say that if you don't know what you're smashing together, it's probably not a good idea to smash it together. I'm just saying, you know, like the Yahoo Serious in that movie, Young Einstein splitting the beer at him and blowing up his shed.
Oh, yeah, he did with a chisel.
Yeah, he did pretty good. He's got some good eyesight, too, man.
Multi-billion dollar chisel to smash atoms together.
Yeah.
And when they got their results, they found out that half of what they knew was wrong. We've sort of been saying that all along anyway.
Yeah, we have. So, I'm thinking that since everything works on frequencies, and I got my theories, which I make a lot of people angry, and they run away from me because they don't want to... I talk blasphemy when I say stuff like the earth is not flat, it's round, you know? Like I say, I'm that guy that is sitting out there on the beach, and I'm watching the ship go over the horizon, and everybody's telling me the earth is flat, but yet I say, well... If that's the case, then why is it I see that boat go over the hill, and then a few weeks later it comes back up over the hill? Could it possibly be that maybe the earth is round? Now I'm a heretic, so now I got to be lynched.
Well, seriously, she says, if the earth was flat, I would have fallen off the edge of it 5,000 miles ago.
Yeah, I'd have fell off of it too, man. You know... You can actually see the curvature of the earth whenever you're in an airplane, so I'm sure the Wright brothers kind of got that idea when they got up there, that it wasn't flat.
If the earth is flat, then where I am currently now is probably a figment of my imagination.
Man. It probably is. You probably don't even exist, man. You're part of the Matrix or something.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I'm sure I'm plugged in somewhere and someone's draining energy off of me.
Yeah.
But... Besides that, I've been in sort of a technological vacuum for the last couple of months, and I wanted to call in to say hello and see how you guys are getting on. But well, it's good to see that you're still rolling along and keeping the thing going.
Yeah, we're on a mission, man. I put a lot of videos out during these years trying to get people thinking outside the box. You know, do I want them to think the way that I think? Not necessarily. Do I want them... try to convince them of my beliefs? No, I just want them to use their brain to figure out things, you know, because if more brain power is added to the pot there, we can troubleshoot anything. There's all kinds of... Look at all the ideas that we came up with back in the day when we first started broadcasting, Steve. You remember those days?
Oh, it was a giggle, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. But we had... from those days all the way to these days, all the podcasts of all the different ideas... of things for alternative energy, and we met a lot of individuals who's out there researching an alternative energy, and you know, so with that said, we're still pushing away. We'll find what we're looking for when we get everybody together with all the pieces of the puzzle to do just that. See, I'm going towards the futuristic style of electricity instead of the brute force way that we do it now with the magnetic field. I'm talking about stimulating the electron itself with a specific frequency to get the same reaction that you would get otherwise with the hard way. So, you know, is it possible? I believe it's possible, because all you have to do is get those electrons to interact with each other. And if you are one of those who doesn't believe there is even an electron, then there is some sort of magnetic field or some sort of energy force that you are disrupting in order to create the electrical flow that you call electricity. And so if you can take a microwave and vibrate water molecules fast enough to create friction and in turn create heat and cook your food, then that tells me there's a potential there to do the same exact thing in the electrical field. So if you look out there and you look at things like the Slayer Exciter or the Tesla Coil, and you see that this thing is actually capable of energizing the fluorescent bulb and lighting it up, that tells me that that frequency range is actually vibrating the gas molecules within that bulb, which is in turn lighting that bulb up. So there's energy. Light is heat and heat is light, vice versa. And so all that there is energy. So I'm saying that if you can tune into the specific frequency of the electron itself, or whatever the energy is that is actually the atom, the proton, the neutron, the electron, and stimulate that and get the same results out without having to use some sort of brute force. When we talk about free energy, we're not talking about over unity, nor are we talking about getting out more than we put in, or a zero point energy, whatever you want to call it. We're talking about there's energy all around us, and all we're doing, according to the laws of conservation of energy, energy can neither be created nor can it be destroyed. So we're not doing nothing. We're just moving energy from point A to point B. And some folks using different techniques, like maybe the Bedini motor, you know, where they use when nature is off balance and it balances back on the backswing, they grab some of that energy and put it back into the system. So there's all kinds of methods by which to do that. And so if we could take and do what I'm talking about and basically figure out the right frequency range to get the electricity to flow without having to use as much. And I don't understand why the doggone people out there in green energy or alternative energy or whatever don't want to look into every aspect of what we're all talking about. Because, you know, if indeed global warming was to be true and it was all because of CO2 emissions and you had the capability to do it without any coal-fired burning plants or any nuclear reactors and such, then why wouldn't you want to look into the future of energy at that deal? What do you guys think?
I think if they can't make money out, they show you how to get free energy, which you can do, then they're not going to do it.
Well, that's blatantly obvious, and you can see that in the oil companies as well, and in all the energy portions of the, you know, it sickens me because they talk about, you know, we're going to run out of oil, we're going to run out of this, but yet nobody, if the problem is that big and the government is that worried about it and they're really concerned about your safety, why are they not pushing towards, they got places that have taxed sunlight for Pete's sake and wind power. You can't put up a solar power or wind power in some places, you know. So,
yeah, but Florida wants to charge you to have winds. I think England does, too. They want to charge you to have your solar panels up on your roof.
Well, that's ridiculous.
Spanish government currently charges people to generate power from the sun. They have a government tax on private solar panels. I wasn't aware that the Spanish government actually had, you know, like a title deed or ownership of the sun.
Well, that's what I'm saying. So if the global warming issue is such a big deal, if it was really true, then wouldn't you think that the urgency would be such as they would be encouraging you, not trying to tax you to breathe and such, to hey, get out there and design something quick because we got to shut this CO2 down before we burn our planet up. You know, we're all going to die, that kind of thing, if we don't get this done. But the urgency has been over 20 years that I can remember. I mean, that's global warming has been going on for over 20 years and they still haven't got any solution. They're still, you can have a coal-powered plant, but we're going to bankrupt you. Or you can still burn fossil fuels, but we're going to tax you. If your cows fart, then we're going to tax your cow's butt as well. And so the CO2 coming out of your mouth, which is now toxic waste according to the EPA, we're going to tax that too. So where's the representation? Why aren't they on the ball? Why don't they have the problem solved? Because it's not a problem. It never was a problem. There is no energy crisis. We're not going to run out of oil. And if we do run out of oil, the Earth is 3/4 covered in water. Get on the hydrogen wagon, for Pete's sake. You know, Stan Myers drove around in a dune buggy running off of water. If one man was able to do that, why can't other people do that, you know? Back in the farming days, during the Depression and stuff, they used to inject water into the cylinders of the pistons and burn that to save on fuel. So, if they could do it back then, why doesn't it work now? And what's wrong with building a steam-powered car? Yeah.
Which is this. If I can extend the fuel efficiency of a 2.5 kilovolt petrol electricity generator by 50% out of a device made out of Carlsberg beer cans in my back garden, all of these top scientists ought to be desired if they can't come up with something more efficient than I can.
Well, on one hand, they're going to sit there and fly around in such as a stealth bomber, and they're going to fly around in some other nifty Black Ops projects things, and they're going to have all this really cool technology where they can spy on you and look into your house and listen to you and all that kind of stuff, but yet they're not smart enough to be able to figure out how to do something that Henry Ford did over 100 years ago, make a car that would get 100 miles to the gallon? Seriously? I mean, I was born at night, but it wasn't last night. I'm not completely stupid.
I'm just saying. I might have fallen off the back of a turnip truck, but it wasn't yesterday.
Yeah. So, you know, if the average Joe can figure that out, like Steve said, then why can't the doggone government figure that out? It's all a scam, man. You know, the nuclear scare scam. So on and so forth. I'm just saying that, you know, maybe they're just too doggone stupid to figure it out. I don't know. It's got
to
be something.
Maybe they're too smart to let us have access to it.
Well, that's probably more likely the case, because if you got the power to turn off somebody's electricity, that's power. If you got power to shut off somebody's food supply, that's power. If you got power to shut off somebody's water supply, that's power. So if you want to keep the population under control and get them to keep on paying for your wars and your stupidity, then the best way to do that is to keep them under your thumb. And under your thumb means that they don't produce their own electricity, they don't produce their own food. I mean, look what they've done to the farmers. Farmers can't even save their own doggone seeds to reuse next year. You got
it cost $1.2 million to build a facility for each kind of seed.
Yeah.
Well, in fairness, guys, Monsanto are getting the dirty, great big kick in the hole at the minute.
Well, are they? They deserve it.
So many people are dropping the Terminator seeds now that they're losing massive, massive bucks. But it's okay, because the government are giving taxpayers money to keep them afloat.
Yeah. I'm keeping the automobile industry afloat.
I'm subscribed to a whole lot of alternative energy researchers on YouTube. If you go out there, don't ever discount the small channels either, because there's guys and gals out there doing alternative research that doesn't have very many subscribers, but their research is all valid. You know, there's some really good things that you can learn. It's a little pieces of the puzzle. And I think that it's always going to come down to the average Joe actually doing something, you know, figuring it out themselves and sharing it with one another. And then instead of you going up there asking your local town council to build an alternative energy device to run your house, you just do it, man. You know, if they holler about your solar panels, hide them in the bottom of your swimming pool. You know, that's what I'm saying. And speaking of solar panels, back to the LED technology, if you got the technology to build an infrared LED that actually picks up invisible light, you know, there's visible light spectrums and invisible light spectrums, all of which are energy. If you can pick up the invisible light spectrum on an infrared LED to change your channel, then why couldn't you do the same thing to have a solar panel that would not only work during the daytime, but would work at night as well? That's what I'm saying. And one of the
Basically, a lot of what you're getting off the sun, I mean, you can feel the heat on your hand, and that's basically the infrared.
Yeah, but see, listen, now, there's photons coming off the sun day and night. There's photons coming from stars from space day and night. And that's how those LEDs work, is when the photons are interacting with the electrons, they're producing energy. And so, with that said, photons being light, that's in the light spectrum. So, it doesn't matter whether it's visible light in an infrared spectrum or not, you know. You get that heat, radiant heat off of the sun, there's infrared light in there.
That's a fact. Yeah, Green Power Science did an experiment. He took like 3 or 4 mirrors, good-sized mirrors on a solar panel, and it was a 24-volt panel, and he got like 5 or 6 volts out of it.
Yeah.
And not too bad.
Speaking of solar panels, now, if you want to see some really super efficient solar panels, go get some of those little cheapo toys. They're little, or just go on eBay and Google, look up, I think it's 40 by 15 solar panels. They're little miniature solar panels that they make. These doggone things pick up light. If you look at my last video called Debunk This, you'll see me using a little solar panel strip that I put together in series. And that thing works that good in just under regular incandescent light, or even when the light's off, it's still putting energy in from the ambient light coming in from the outside. But you can imagine how efficient they'd be outside. But these little solar panels are quite impressive for what they are, and you can get those on the cheap and make those things, run them in series to build the biggest bank you want.
Yeah, it makes me laugh real hard. You go down to Radio Shack. Doggone, they want like $8-9 for this little solar panel. It's like 2-thumb width by one thumb width, 2 inch by 1 inch, and they want that much for it. But you can go over to Dollar General or Family Dollar and get those lawn lamps. And they got a solar cell in that sucker. It's twice the size.
Yeah,
and a rechargeable battery.
And those
and an LED and a white LED. Used to cost quite a bit unless you order them by the bulk or good size on eBay or so. But I remember the white LEDs used to cost like pretty close to a little over $1.
Yeah. Some of those,
I tried to get it at Radio Shack. Doggone, the things were $4, man.
Some of those little solar panels that you're talking about, you can buy at the Everything a Dollar store over here in the United States. I don't know if they have a thing like that over there where you guys are at, but
Dollar Tree.
Yeah, but those little solar panels is what I'm talking about. That's what I took those solar panels out of, some little lights like that, and you can buy them on eBay. You know, and you buy them in bulk straight from China, and these things are quite impressive, man.
Yeah, those rich men lawn lamps out there, anywhere from $5 to $12 a piece. They got a solar cell in that thing. It's like 5 inches by 5 inches, and they put out 5 volts.
Yeah,
that's not bad. You can put a few of those in series.
Yeah, you run those in series, and you'll double your voltage every time, 5 to 10 to 15, and so on down the line.
Yeah,
and they're pretty impressive, man. You just try it out. If you want to do it on the cheap, that's the way to do it. But either way, I still say that you can make one that will pick up all different light spectrums. It's all going to be in the material. Now, the way that they put them LEDs together, you have to go take a look at how LEDs are actually created, and you'll see that it's a pretty technical deal that they do. You know, they layer these materials, silicone and stuff in there, and different types of materials depending on what color they want the LED to make. And like I said, if you do that to the same thing as far as your solar panels, you can get that thing to work during day and night. Because there's heat out there. Even in the wintertime, there's heat coming in.
Yeah, if you got the moon, you can add some mirrors to them suckers.
Yeah.
A lot of angles. Just you have to be adjusting mirrors every 15 minutes. But
well, if that doggone light bulb is enough to energize those solar panels the way that it does, that tells me that solar panel's really super sensitive. I'm going to have to take it out during a full moon and see what kind of voltage I can get off of that. That would make for a good video.
Yeah, you get those at the dollar store as well. They got those dancing flowers.
Yeah.
Pretty cool.
And
but as far as the lawn lamps, I mean, look, let's say you're up in the mountains and you're 15 miles away from the nearest grid, meaning the electrical system for people. Basically, you could set them suckers out there at night, and the older ones used to have double A's and triple A's in them. You got a little a Sony Walkman radio. Man, one of them triple A's that you put in that sucker, I mean, that thing is so efficient. Put one of those little triple A's in that sucker, man, you got like 2 weeks to listen to the thing pretty much most of the day. That's pretty cool. Plus, if you want light, just bring the suckers in. And that means you can walk to the bathroom or out to the outhouse and not have to worry about buying batteries to keep your flashlight and run radios and stuff. I think it's pretty cool.
Well,
not bad for...
There's another possibility as well with those little solar lights like that, is that if you customize it just a bit where you can get the battery in and out pretty easy, you could charge it up whenever you're using it outside and use that for a little battery charger to charge up for your maybe a little radio or flashlight or something that runs off of the 1.5 volt double A's. And those are pretty good little batteries too, man.
Yeah, if you have radios 8 batteries and just put 8 of them,
yeah.
Mount them all to a board and just pop your batteries in the daytime.
Well,
get you 2 sets of batteries. The lithium cells. Now those are nickel metal hydrides. They got like 4 times the storage, and you can charge them up. You can get them right in direct sunlight, aim them straight at the sun, and I mean you can get a lot out of those.
Well, you can go to Radio Shack or places like that, or probably even buy them off of eBay, but you can get little 12 volt deals that you put I think it's about 8 or so I think it's about 8 yeah it's 8 1.5 volt batteries in it, and you get 12 volts off of the deal, so you could use that to run a small handheld CB or something like that.
Right. You use their 1.2 volts, though, instead of 1.5.
Yeah.
Like lead acid. Next.
Well, either way, you could still get a couple of those and run a little bit more off of it. And charge them all with the same charger that you got with. Go ahead, Steve.
And box type counter.
That's Paul.
Oh, yeah, that's it.
Or was that Travis? Was that Paul or Travis?
I can't remember. Anyway,
we're getting a bad line here, guys.
Yeah, go ahead.
I was saying that if you're seriously hardcore and you don't want to buy stuff off the Chinese that's going to break a week after you bought it, you'll have a crack at making your titanium oxide powder and raspberry soda panels.
Yeah. Well, one thing I can say about these little solar panels that I'm talking about, they put these things in some sort of resin. So outside of the contacts on the back, which whenever you solder, you got to be careful not to burn into. Yeah, but they're in a resin, so these things are pretty well indestructible.
That's pretty cool, man.
Yeah, go look at that last video that I did called Debunk This. You'll see those little solar panels in there.
Yeah, I copied that. I got it on my hard drive.
Cool. But, yeah, it's that works right underneath the doggone light bulb, man.
I put a load of the garden lamp solar panels inside the veg box that I was developing to germinate seeds, because my whole thing was growing plants.
Yeah.
And I was clawing back off of 13-watt T5 fluorescent strips enough energy to run a couple of PC fans to ventilate the box to put airflow across seedlings, things like tomato plants, chili plants, you know, just be random. That plant is eating it.
Yeah.
And then...
What? Well, we lost you there for a second. Yikes. Somebody don't want us talking about this stuff again. Yeah, you're cutting out real bad there, Steve. It's that Honest Age used ISP service that you're on.
He said, you know, they come in these solar lawn lamps. Do they have the right spectrum for plants?
I could never wait for that, guys.
Oh, there you go. Now you're back. Try it again, buddy.
Paul, the basically oh my goodness, I just said it. The solar lawn lamps, the LEDs that are in those, do those have the right spectrum for plants?
I wasn't using it to light the plants. I was using it to extract energy from the T5 strips that I was shining on the plants.
Right. Okay. To run the fans. Now I got you.
Basically, what I had is I had five T5 strips in a row, side by side. So it was about 60 centimeters wide. And around the lip of the box that I was growing them in, I just put as many of these little 2-volt solar panels that I could get, daisy chained them all the way around, and that gave me enough to run two, I think it was half an amp each PC fans, 12-volt PC fans. And I think I had about 16 of them in total.
Oh God, I'm trying to copy a link here that Stephen Gibbons put into the chat room. Secrets of Cold Electricity by John Bedini there.
Well, look at nuclear power. I mean, they keep talking about plutonium and uranium nuclear power production when thorium is considerably safer.
Well, yeah. But, you know, they don't want you using that kind of stuff, man.
They can't pollute the earth with it.
Yeah.
They can't bury something half a mile underground to pollute the water table with, can they?
That's right. Yeah, they're doing that fracking around here where they dump non-potable water down, and those seals that go through where they, you know, when they drill through your water table and down to the next spot there, They put a seal and a piece of pipe between it. And if the land shifts or moves, you know, those seals ain't no good. So, yeah, it seems like our water quality has gotten worse and worse and worse.
And bloody.
Yeah.
If they keep putting seals down there, what are the polar bears going to eat?
Oh. That's right. Yeah.
The polar bears are already drowning from, you know, all the ice caps melting, and you're taking away its food supply. What are these people like?
That ain't right.
Well, I just don't know, man. I ain't never seen a polar bear that couldn't swim, so who am I to say? You know, we got to save the planet. We got to start off a drive to raise funds to get life jackets for polar bears. What do you think?
Life jackets for polar bears?
Yeah, or those at least those little floaty rings that they put on their arms.
Man, them suckers are so fat they can float on their back if they want, just play in the water.
I submit that we get Al Gore to go over there and actually put the doggone floaties on the polar bears, because, you know, he said they were going to drown, so he needs to be the one to go over there and save the polar bears by actually putting them on for them, you know? What do you think?
I'm not saying that Al Gore is a stout man, but the last time he jumped into the sea with a pod of orcas, they tried to teach him to navigate.
Well, yeah, I'll root him on from the seashore. I said, come on, you can get that life jacket on that polar bear. Yeah.
Guys, you do realize that the fur on polar bears is a hollow. It traps in air. It's the buoyancy virus.
Well, we do. We realize that, but Al Gore doesn't seem to realize that. He's thinking that the polar bears are going to be down there in Davy Jones' locker, you know. But who knows, man?
You invade Mexico soon.
Yeah, I want to see that whole scenario play out where he goes over and puts a life jacket on a polar bear. I want to see what happens. You know,
I wouldn't like to invade Mexico, because, what is it, your man, was it John P. Holder sent tons of guns down there?
Oh, yeah, he did. Yeah.
It's pretty dangerous down there, guys. Don't go and invade Mexico. They can shoot back.
Yeah, so the polar bears probably ain't going to go down to Mexico, man. They know.
Well, you know.
Oh, they won't survive there. Even if it turns all snowy, they ain't going to survive there. They turn into food real quick.
Well,
I need to maybe wind back my humor.
Yeah. But either way, you know, it's common sense. It's been over 20 some odd years at least, probably 30 years or more by now since the first time they come out and said the whole global warming thing. And here we are today. You know, we got some really terrible weather, but nature is acting up because of a whole bunch of different things, you know, tilt of the earth, the doggone solar cycles, the natural cycles of the earth, volcanoes going off. Jerks monkeying around with the weather. Of course, that's conspiracy. You can't talk about that one.
Well, so this, in 1988 in my high school, they were trying to teach me that within 10 years, the German Black Forest would be completely decimated by acid rain. And to be honest, I had to jump off my motorbike in the middle of the Black Forest in 2006. Because, you know, you drive a long way and you need a break and sometimes, you know, you have a few cups of coffee. And there's not that many petrol stations or gas stations where you can stop off. So, you know, an abundance of trees gives you a bit of privacy.
Yeah.
And I have to say, in 1988, they said within a decade the Black Forest would disappear. In 2006, nobody could see my shiny white butt.
Well, that's one thing about nature. See, whatever you don't use, nature always takes back. So try not mowing your lawn for about a month or so and see how things go for you. 6 months down the line, you ain't even got a lawn anymore, but you do have a jungle. So with that said, you know, hey, that's the way it goes, man. Whatever you don't use, nature takes back. And if mankind's tougher than nature, then we got everything backwards. There ain't no way if you make Mother Nature mad, you're just going to get, smacked down. That's all there is to it, you know. Go drill a hole in the side of a volcano and see if that hot lava don't come out and burn you on the face or something, or worse.
Yeah, he dropped out there for a second there, she says.
No.
But anyway.
Am I back?
Yeah, you're back. Probably missed about 12 words. That's about it.
Well, I'm saying that nature's tougher than man. If you think I'm wrong, go see if you can get one of them big old drills that drill sideways into the land and drill a hole in the side of a mountain and see what happens, side of a volcano and see what happens. See if you don't get some hot lava in your face, because I don't think nature necessarily wants you drilling holes in the side of a volcano.
That's a great way to create some new land near the shore.
Yeah, take some dynamite and go over there and blow the side of a cliff off and see if you start a tsunami, you know. I mean, come on, man. You know, mankind knows certain things are going to happen. You know, for every action's an equal and opposite reaction. So if you light a nuclear bomb off in the desert and make a whole lot of glass, then you might not want to just complain about it after you did it, because you're the one that lit the firecracker, so to speak.
Yeah.
But as far as the whole global warming thing, I'm probably one of the most hardcore advocates against global warming, man-made, because, you know, they had it, if it was as real as they said it was, it wouldn't have went from global warming to climate change / climate disruption, and who knows what it is this week. The cold is the new heat kind of thing.
Yes, geoengineering.
Yeah.
Basically what it's up. The main deal is if they didn't have climate change to blame it on, they wouldn't be able to spray all this stuff up there. And then have it, we're not spraying anything. Well, this is what it is. We're trying to put shiny particles up in the air to reflect the sunlight up there so that the earth doesn't keep getting warm.
Well,
you know what? So if you're looking at a deal that's going to if you're looking at a situation that's going to keep on making, I mean, like your ozone layer is getting thinner and the hole got bigger, guess what? The ozone layer has been replacing because there's been more electrical storms and thunder showers and stuff like that. The Earth is pretty much self-healing.
Yeah.
They took a $5 donation from me when I flew on the airplane, got onto the next airplane, took another, and then same thing on the way back. So there went $20 that just magically disappeared.
Yeah.
And nobody knows where it went. It's over in a Swiss bank account somewhere. Although we don't know what happened to it.
Well.
But anyway, as the snow melts, the Earth becomes a little less white and doesn't reflect as much. Well, you know, you find a great old field out there, man, paint the sucker white. Paint the sucker white, or plant something that grows and looks white.
Yeah.
You know, reflect it out that way. I mean, my money would have been much better spent than to sit there and put a bunch of stuff up there that modifies you and puts aluminum inside you and barium, beryllium, or whatever they put in there, plus other things and insecticides and stuff that modifies the plants out here and gets into the roots, and when it gets to the leaves it clogs up and it's more like a stupid engine with a, you know, with a with a cork stuck in the exhaust. You can't get air out. Well, you can't get air in, the engine doesn't run. The same thing with the trees.
Well,
you clog them leaves, they can't make they can't make food and they can't draw up more water.
Listen to the sheer stupidity of the whole spraying stuff for reflecting sunlight back into space. Earlier we were talking about if a volcano goes off, it causes a cooling down in that specific area, which when we all know that when something cools down, the heat and the cool interact with each other and change the climate in that general vicinity. So since they obviously can't put a billion planes up in the air and spray the Earth all at one shot, then there's going to be pockets in which it ain't sprayed that the heat's going to still be getting through there, which is going to create turbulence in the weather from the cooling in one side and the heat rising from the other side. You're going to get some pretty nasty storms.
Yeah, and high winds for your wind turbine.
Yeah.
Well, guys, how about this for an idea? How about we set up a crowdfunding project to develop holographic technology so we can beam out to space, please help aliens,
yeah,
retard, keep voting in psychopaths.
Yeah, I agree. Sounds like a great plan.
Great idea.
You know, they
something out there for God, just come down and do something with you lads, because we ain't capable of doing nothing for ourselves.
Do you remember the old Batman and Robin series where they had the bat signal?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, we could get one of them really super bright spotlights with a couple million lumens in it and put a big old help deal on the end of it and shine it up there.
Something's got to be done, because, I mean, the way things are going, I've been watching it for 30 years now. And some guy gets up in a shiny suit with a $40 haircut and says, vote for me. I want a decent pension and a directorship in the oil company that I give free oil to when I retire.
Yeah.
And people keep voting for him. I mean, well, when does it stop, lads? Seriously. I know we're not taught critical thinking at school, but there should be enough of us around the place that have two brain cells to rub together that haven't been fluoridated.
Well, the problem is, the way they teach the kids in school, the kids are growing up and they don't know what the difference between truth and fiction is anymore anyway. And so you got to go out there and educate the kids, and first they're going to argue with you until they're blue in the face, even after you teach them the real science of CO2. Then they're still going to hold on tight because nobody likes you to test their beliefs and whatever. And so why would my teacher lie to me, of course, you know? Because maybe your teacher was lied to as well. But either way, you go take the science book from 1960s and match them up to the science books of 2014, and you're going to see that they don't even teach real science anymore. You know?
I saw a chemistry book from 1969, about 3 years ago, that was ordinary level education in the United Kingdom. And the stuff they were teaching in that what the manuals and information that they provide high school students today pales in comparison.
Yep.
When I was in the Boy Scouts back in the early 80s, they used to teach us how to use an axe. They used to teach us how to make fire. They taught us a whole range of skills. By the 90s, you get a badge for being able to use a mobile phone.
Yeah. But back in the day when you were talking about, though, you actually learned science in the doggone Boy Scouts, man.
Oh, yeah. I did a Red Cross course for 10 weeks. You know, I could revive a human being if he had a heart attack. I knew which position to lay somebody in if they were seriously injured.
Yeah, nowadays the kids would just pick up 911 and call 911 on the cell phone because they wouldn't have a clue what to do. So by that
It's a true story that they put 911 on the side of a Porsche. So when idiot people crashed them, they know which number to ring.
Yeah. So, heck, man. You know what? I just, like, that's why I call it mad science, because the common sense just went out the window. I say the common sense went out the window with the invention of brass knuckles and or pogo stick, you know? Well, I want to jump up and down on a spring on a stick that's going to, if you mess up, you're going to hit yourself in the chin or something like that. So the whole world's jumping up and down on a pogo stick, swinging brass knuckles at each other and not accomplishing nothing. It's nuts.
All I have to say on it is, you know, people can make their own decisions or they can let people make them for them. When people started letting other people make decisions for them, 6 million Red Sea pedestrians got put on trains to holiday camps in Poland and never came back.
Yep.
Work that one out for yourself, lads.
As scary as that sounds, it may be coming to a neighborhood near us pretty soon, the way things are going.
Keep watching your gas prices.
Yeah, they're dropping like rocks over here, man. I mean, it's nice to go to the gas station and get some cheap fuel, but there's something going on there that might not be a good deal. Last time was back in 2008, and that's when the whole housing crisis thing went, where the banks made out like bandits because they not only got bailed out by the government, but they also got to foreclose on the property, so they got paid twice and three times after they resold.
Yeah, and they bailed themselves out with using that shale oil.
Yeah, now they're trying to set it up so that they can bail themselves out with your checking account. They can confiscate your money and bail themselves out when they're in trouble. That's something wrong about that.
Send us three blank checks and two credit cards with PIN numbers, and we'll show you how to draw.
Yeah, it's gonna come down to where people start hiding coins in their mattress again. You know?
I can jump on a ferry, and I can go to the next geographical location, and there's a terminal fee of about $28 each way. So, a ferry ticket on a 1 hour journey cost me about $10 each way. Then I have to pay $28 each way in terminal fees, and those terminal fees are to make sure that you're thumbprinted, that somebody's grabbing hold of your short and curlies with a big sweaty hand to make sure that you don't have exploding underpants. And I am paying to be abused.
Well,
now, what I find seriously disturbing is, for the first couple of years when this came in, yeah, they were grabbing everybody that came through. Now they just can't be bothered because they can't get the sort of through flow of traffic that they need to make it viable. So they've just thrown it out the window. But we're still paying the fee.
Well, over here they got what's called toll roads, and so when you drive down these doggone toll roads, you expect to your money goes to maintain the road, like they said, you know, to pay for road construction. Well, then when you're driving down that doggone road and you hit a chuck hole the size of Texas and blow your tire off the rim and then say, hey, look, you know, you're going to fix this tire for me because you didn't maintain that road, they'll look at you like you're crazy. They ain't going to pay for that tire.
Yeah, the least they could have done was turn a Volkswagen upside down and put it in a hole.
Yeah, something. You know, that's the way things go when you're talking about relying on the government. So we're saying don't rely on the government. Rely on yourself and the wisdom that you can gather up out here on the internet before they figure out a way to shut it down, too. You know, they want to tax everything. So if they're going to tax the cow fart, then they're going to tax you, too.
It used to be the toll road was to pay for the road, because the county didn't have the money or whatever, and somebody just said, well, I'll buy it and I'll do this, and they get the toll to pay the people collecting the tolls and the people repairing the roads, and also to pay off the debt that it took to build it. After that, they're supposed to drop it down to be, you know, take most of the toll booths out, and you just, you know, pay a little bit, and that kept the roads up. No, they still want to put them on there. They got them now where you just drive down the road and they take a picture of your license plate. And then you see the sign that says entering toll road. And you're going, oh, well, where was the sign that said last exit before?
Yeah, toll? About the same arguments, mate.
That thing is only like 8 inches wide, you know. You got to get out your car and use your magnifying glass to see it. So.
Yep.
Did not the Bible say that God made us all equal and gave us dominion over the land?
Yeah.
Right.
Or they didn't say it was written on a piece of paper by somebody at some point in history. We seem to have put intellectual energy into these concepts, which is not necessarily a bad thing. But I don't ever reading anything that was written down that said God made us all equal and gave us dominion over each other.
Well, let's look at New Zealand. Well, they believe all the, you know, nobody is supposed to own the land. If you're living on it and you're upkeeping it, then you claim it as your land. The land belongs to you. You don't belong to the land. The land belongs to you. It doesn't mean you can sell it, because if you die, then basically the next person who wants to stake a plot stakes the plot. And what they basically do when you stake in your plot is you start off in the morning, you got four stakes. You drive one in the ground, you walk one direction as far, you know, as far as you think you can go there, and for so many hours you drive the stake in the ground. Then you go the other direction, and you're supposed to be back by the end of the day. And that's the maximum size plot that you can do. And if you could keep it up, if you wasn't keeping it up, then somebody else could take part of it. And then, you know, but somewhere, you know, we got deeds and the government taxes you on it, and they say they like they own it, and everything that you bought, somebody somewhere down the line basically took the land that was free, that nobody owned. They didn't buy it.
So how long do you figure that the people of the world's going to allow the governments of the world to fleece their pockets?
Well, they've done when Obama first got into office, the first thing he was doing behind everybody's back was looking at any land or reserves that nobody owned across the United States, and he went state to state claiming that land as government land. So there would be no more free land. There was very few states, Texas being one of them, that just told them, you know, get lost. You don't own the land here. Nobody owns it. It'll stay that way until somebody stakes it and needs it and stuff like that, but it will not be for sale.
Well, not to mention the fact that they're having a garage sale and hawking it all off to the Chinese and whoever else will buy.
Oh, yeah.
Tell you what, guys, if you can only stake the amount of land that you can travel there and back in one day,
or maintain.
I'm going to hire Puss in Boots as my surveyor.
Yeah, me too.
7 leagues a step. That's a fair bit of land, that's.
Hey, you can put a skyrocket on your tail, but the fuse ain't going to burn all that long, and sooner or later it goes pop. But basically, the kitty cat can't pound the steak either. So,
The world's going mad, and it's getting worse. And I have a real fear that people are going to forget that the only law that I truly know of is gravity.
Yeah.
And pretty much everything else is the opinion of a civil servant, and they don't work for us.
Well, no. And the whole thing about being able to be self-sufficient in this kind of world, you know, the power went down. I can't remember where the heck it was last time. It was overseas. The power went down for a long time. And I think it was Bangladesh, wasn't it?
Could have been, yeah.
Yeah, and the powers went down in places, flood zones over here, and different places where they got snowstorms and such like that. So those folks were at the mercy of whatever they had knowledge in their head. You know, if they had some heating systems that would work, you know, emergency heating or emergency lighting and that kind of stuff. That's why it'd be a really good advisable to, if you haven't already, get out there on things like YouTube and whatever. Search up alternative everything, you know, alternative food sources, and, you know, maybe throw a few extra canned goods on your store shelves or whatever, because, you know, the way that these guys are running the ship, we're going to hit that iceberg, man. And just like the Titanic, when it goes down, we're all along for the ride. And so whatever life preserver you're holding on to, I hope it's thermally protected and heated, you know.
Well, that gave me an idea, seeing as this is the mad science. You know, you can only stir so many life preservers. And while watching the Titanic movie, I had the idea, why don't they just make inflatable suits that have two liners, one on the inside, then it inflates around that. And guess what? You got a thermal layer, so you're not getting hypothermia. You're floating, you're fine. And they can probably fold up about the size of what you fold up a pillowcase.
Yep.
And you could store a whole bunch more, and everybody be happy, you know, and have a little hoodie that you can just lay your head in, you know. So that'd be pretty cool. And if the water gets inside it, that's okay, because the water against your body is going to be warm, and it still has that insulating distance between the outside and the inside, because it's full of air. Kind of like laying on one of them little rubber wraps, you know. It's wet, but you know, when you lay there for a while and then you decide to roll off into the water, all of a sudden that water feels cold because your body was used to that warm water that was against you.
So well, the only problem with Muddy, the only problem with putting a hoodie on a survival suit is the first thing that's going to happen is you're going to have a bunch of fellas leaning up against the side of the lifeboat trying to sell crack and shooting people with blue bandanas on.
Oh man, I wouldn't doubt it. I've seen worse. But either way, a little common sense will go a long way. So if you want to find some alternative energy deals, you can check out Muddy's channel, you can check out Shaziz on YouTube, and you can check out there's all kinds of guys out there, Dieden's out there, and Terry Woodruff, and Ryan Abrams, and a whole lot more. Has Larry got a YouTube channel yet?
No, I don't think he's looking for one either.
Yeah. Well, either way, there's still a whole lot of alternative energy ideas out there. Stirling engines, and even if you have to go back in time and do a whole steam engine still functions well. Build you a wood-burning steam engine, you know, a wood-burning Stirling engine.
Yeah.
There's all kinds of ideas out there. But, you know, it's probably going to be a case of, it's going to be a have-to, you know. Society collapses, and if you want any kind of comfort, you got to create it, you know. So you dig through the rubble of the apocalypse, and you find some old copper wire and make you a wind turbine or something like that, and get you a little bit of generating power to generate some batteries up, grab you some bridge rectifiers out of some old power supplies and such. You know, there's if you guys out there listening ever need any help, just contact us on Skype or jump in one of the chat rooms or something like that whenever they ain't being attacked by denial of service attacks. You know,
let's chat tango.
Yeah. But either way,
that's still a dosser.
Yeah.
A dosser is somebody that lays around and does nothing, and that DOS is a denial of service attack. So let's just say to all of these dossers out there, how about you pick up the pace a bit and do something constructive with your time?
Yeah, use that doggone hacking skill you got to write some decent chat software that guys like you won't mess with, you know? That's what I'm saying.
Take you an antivirus software and help somebody.
Yeah. I would like to make an announcement, Shaziz.
Yeah.
The other morning, I went to log onto my PlayStation, and the Lizard Squad did a denial of service attack on the Sony PlayStation network, which significantly frustrated me, because it really took away my opportunity to teach young children new and informative swear words to repeat to their parents.
Yeah,
and
see,
that's
that
insane, is a public
man.
Service to me, because I honestly believe that you should not use an electronic device as a babysitter for your children.
Yeah. Well, I don't know, man. This whole world seems to be upside down. I don't understand why people can't get their act together. You know, there's people out there, like I said, wasting their time trying to deny service on chat rooms and PlayStations and so on and so forth, that could be using that talent towards benefiting humanity, you know. And instead, it's funny, you know, like the whole trolling thing back there on YouTube. People want to go there and they want to cut down your ideas, you know, tell you how stupid you are, but yet they were intelligent enough to tell you how stupid you are while misspelling the word stupid. You know?
When the majority of children nowadays can type quite well, you know, trolling is not exactly a great feat of imagination or ability.
Yeah. Foul mouth heathens on there cursing and raising a ruckus.
Oh, and then what about the cursing and all the rest of that? I mean, kids will be kids. They're going to do stupid things. But let's just say that if we let other people make decisions for us because we're too idle or too stupid or too lazy to make them for ourselves, we're going to keep going around in the same circles.
Yep. And so with all that said, since we're coming down short on time, let's retouch on the Electro Man contest. Go over to Shaziz on YouTube and look up the Electro Man contest video. And essentially what it is, you have 6 months to research and develop a suit that has all onboard charging systems. You can use solar as long as it's onboard. You can't build something that you can just go and plug in the wall and have power. You have to start off generating the power, whether it be through some little stepper motors that are at your knees. When your knees bend, it generates power. The heat off your body using things like Peltier elements or thermal couples, the thermopiles. Whatever that you can do to generate electricity to store into a capacitor bank or a battery bank that you can in turn do physical work, such as maybe plug in a skill saw and turn it on. If you're the only one that can run a skill saw off your suit with energy that was generated by that suit, then at the end of that 6 months after the voting, which the voting will be by the public, either on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter, and ShazizRadio.com. And so the public will get to vote. So even the people hosting the contest will have an opportunity to build a suit as well, because they won't actually be voting. So with that said, check out the Electro Man contest. What do you think, buddy? You got anything to add to that?
Yeah, and you make a video, and basically your thumbs up count. I think that's what you said before.
Yeah.
Also gave me another idea for those. Like that Titanic blow up life preserver full body suit thinking there. If you paint the inside of it black and the sun hits you, that ought to heat the air inside. And if you could do that, say if you're up in the mountains and it's like 20 below Celsius, maybe that might help. Just an idea. But anything, then we got the pop-pop boat, and you said you wanted to revive that deal there.
Yeah, we're going to try to revive that contest, but this time around it'll be to whoever can build the full-size version of it. They said it couldn't be scaled up, but it can be scaled up. So with that said,
I'm going to make my Electro Man suit there look like Buzz Lightyear.
Cool.
Like go. I come in peace to infinity and beyond.
Cool. Well, anyway, if the aliens land and they say, ack, 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 run.
Can I add one last thing, please?
Yeah, go ahead.
I will personally, in public, allow people to film me, put it on YouTube or anywhere else they want to put it, if somebody can build an Electro-Man suit that will give the TSA a 50,000 volt taste of their own medicine if somebody gets a bit too fruity with the love junk.
Well, that's a good idea there, you know. That could be part of the power of the suit is self-defense. So if somebody comes up and tries to tackle you to the dirt or get a little frisky, hey, they light their bulbs up, you know.
It's passive, not offensive.
Yeah.
Yep. You got to insulate yourself from it, too. So it all that, yeah, you'd have to have a good insulator between your crimplers and all that.
Yeah, always practice electrical safety and look at the
you don't want your kids coming out with a head that looks like a lightning bolt.
Conductivity of the material that you're using, you know, make sure you're not grounded to the earth or whatever, unless you're going to be doing something like using a negative ion generator to generate a bunch of energy to send lightning bolts out your fingertips at your brother's ear or something like that, in which case it's all in your design. Be creative, is what I'm saying.
Yeah. What I'm trying to say is no means no, regardless if you've got TSA tattooed on your shirt.
Yeah, so if they come up there and get a little bit of a shock going on, the sign said, do not touch.
That's right. Yeah, there was a video of these two ladies in bikinis, basically, and they were heavyweights. That got stopped on the side of the road and basically for speeding, and I mean there wasn't no reason really, but basically they decided they'd do a cavity search on the side of the highway. The cops are getting sued pretty deep.
Yeah, I bet. Well, save it for
overdoing things.
Save it for another day, Knights of the Round Table. Don't forget to join tomorrow, same time, extra hour more, 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. Central Time, 2 to 5 Ireland Time, I think. Anyway, peace and love, everybody. Stay tuned for the Hope Show.
Something happening here, but what it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there, telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop, children, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Battle lines being drawn, and nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speaking their minds are getting so much resistance from behind. Every time we stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. What a field day for the heat. A thousand people in the street, singing songs and a carrying signs. Mostly say hooray for our side. It's time we stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Strikes deep into your life, it will creep. It starts when you're always afraid. Step out of line, the man come and take you away. You better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. You better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. You better stop now, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. You better stop, children.
Operator, give me the number for 911.